I got to go vote. I don't know who to vote for. It's a whole lot running on the conservative side. I know one thing, I'm not voting on the other way. Praise the Lord. You can't tell that, though, can you, about me? Well, blessed be the Lord. Let's look in the Bible somewhere. Let's look in Romans. It's a good place to start. Book of Romans. With the last 2 weeks, we spoke out of Psalms chapter 8 and says, David wrote there and said, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou art mindful of him? That you gave this much attention to, and this much authority to. And I question, you know, I always sit around and meditate and think beyond what, you know, you got to stretch yourself in your thinking. And you have to have a question. If you never have a question, you'll never seek for the answer. You have to have a question. You have to find something you want to know. If you go through life, don't want to know anything, you'll just be in dial tone. You'll just be in neutral. You have to have a question. You know, you have to have a question, you know, what I want to do in life, what I want to be in life, where do I want to go in life. You know, do I want to prosper? What do I want to do? It's called ambition. And God gives us that. Same way when it comes to God and his word, you have to have a question. Job's whole life was turned around because he questioned. He wanted an answer. He sought. And all of his friends came to his house, and they began to tell him all these things that he'd done wrong and all these things that he'd messed up and all this, you know, and they began to debate back and forth, and finally they made Job mad, and he told all of them, this stupid, and get out of here, and all this and all that, you know. And then he began to ask God, you know, question for 9 months. Then finally God showed up and asked Job a question. He said, where were you when I created the universe? You and all your friends know so much. Began to explain to me your theology and your doctrine here. Well, they was doing pretty good for all they had to research. They didn't have a Bible like we do. And God answered Job's question, and Job began to get revelation of the word, and he prayed for his friends, the Bible says, and God healed him. Gave him twice as much. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Amen? It's not how you start, how you finish. I know a lot of people start really strong, but they don't finish. I've met more Christians since I've been in church and going to church and Christians who have not finished than I have that has finished. Very few that I started with that was strong or seemed like they was running the race finished. They began to get weary and tired or whatever it was, and they began to drop off or drop out like flies. They lost their push, lost their fight, lost their care, and they just began to wither on the vine and to fall away. I know no more that's falling away than I do that's prospered or been progressive or been promoted in God. Very few that I know has been promoted. That's sad. It's not the way it ought to be. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. You can start real fast, real strong, and have a lot of zeal. You're going to change the world. And you're going to do this. You're going to go to church. You're going to get involved. You're going to pray, and you're going to do this. And after a while, it just kind of withers. I just watch people, and when I start things or do things, even here in the church, starting things, usually when we start it and get things going, there's quite a few that'll get in. And I told Joshua, I was talking to him one day. I said, well, just you can't judge it by where we're at. Just hang around. Let's see who's in a little while, how many we've got left. Then we can go from there. Because they'll wither. Sun gets hot and they get tired. They start looking for a shade, spiritually speaking. You know what I mean? And everybody loses the excitement or loses the newness. Very few Christians, very few, put their hand to the plow and keep it on there. Very few. Very few. And so that's sad. But there's some, thank God, who keep pushing on that plow, and they get bigger and bigger. God knows that. See, He knows all about us. And that's why He tests us and tries us. Gives us opportunity to succeed or fail. God gives you opportunity. All God will ever give you and all you'll ever have is opportunity. It's what you do with it. It's what you do with your opportunity. You can either make it or break it on what you do with it. And God watch you. He knows. And so the devil knows. He knows by how he's been doing this along with man. He knows man pretty good. Pressure, time, wear saints out. And they just drop away, especially in America. Of course, that's the way it'd be all over the world. But what saints thrive in is persecution or suffering. Saints or the church thrives in that. Are you out there? They do. You let hardship, persecution, trials, war, battle hit your life, honey, you're going to be here every service. You'll be here every time we have prayer. Oh, I need God. Oh, I got to have God. Well, He knows that. The Bible talks about when they were in trouble, they cried out to the Lord, and He heard them and delivered them. Oh, that man would give thanks unto the Lord. Then they left and got in trouble, and they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. Oh, that man would give thanks unto the Lord. That's the way the book of Judges was. They'd go down into bondage and captivity, and the enemy would take over, and they'd cry out to God, and God would send somebody to deliver them, and they'd get delivered. Oh, and they'd tear down all the high places and all the idols, and they'd put God back up, and after a little while, they'd tear God down, put their idols back up, and go back into captivity. The whole book of Judges is like that. Then they'd cry unto the Lord, and God would raise up another deliverer, set them free. They'd prop God back up. Oh, let's worship God. Then after a while, they'd throw God down and have their idols back up. Same thing. Man's been doing that ever since day one. There's not many finish strong. I want to finish strong. No matter what I'm doing, I want to finish strong. Don't matter what it is. Don't matter if you're an usher. Don't matter if you're a deacon. Don't matter if you park cars. Finish strong. Don't do it just to get a raise. Well, I've done this long enough, Lord. Oh, you think so, huh? Yeah, you don't hurry and promote me, I'm quit. Well, you might as well go home. He won't. But I'll tell you, He pays good. I'll tell you, the Lord pays good, but He don't pay weekly. That's the only thing. Sometimes paydays is real stretched out there. He does. You know why He does that? See if He's going to show up for work. And after a while, when your faith pleases Him, you got it. Amen? Everything you do, you have to do for the Lord. You can't do it for your people. You can't do it for attention. You can't do it for approval of any man. You can't do it to be seen by man. You can't do it because you want God to bless you, or you want money, or you want this. You can't do it for that. You have to do it in secret. You have to do it for the Lord. Just do it for the Lord. It takes a while to get that down inside of you. It takes a while to get that. But you have to make your mind up. What kind of man are you? What kind of woman are you? Are you a man and woman of character? Is your word any good? Do you do what you say? Well, you made a covenant with God when you got born again. You signed it in blood. His blood. You signed that. You said, I will serve the Lord. I will follow God. I will be faithful. You know, this covenant works two ways. God said, I'll do all this for you, but he demands something out of you. If you got character, you'll hang in there. That'll take you farther than anything. It's who you are. That's why the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great wealth. A good name. In other words, character. Who are you? What are you in it for? Well, the Lord told me to. Amen? And I told him I would. But how long will you do that? Amen? You have to settle that within yourself. God's not going to bless fallen stars. You know, fallen stars, they're really pretty. And they make a big light. And everybody runs out and sees it. Look how pretty that is. But then it fades away and it's gone. It's no more forever. That's what Jude said. The clouds that don't have any rain. Just noise. God knows that. But yet we begin to follow God and we hear how he blesses and how he strengthens and how he does all these. And we say, that's what I want. Well, he's going to see if it is. He's going to see if it is. And if you can endure as a good soldier, you can weather the weather like a good farmer. If you can train like a good athlete, then you'll make it. If you don't, you won't. You say, you mean I won't go to heaven? Oh, you'll go to heaven. But you won't get nothing when you get there. Most people don't realize that. They think, well, I don't care. Oh, how you'll care. My, how you'll care. Bible says on that day there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's in heaven. What are you crying for in heaven? Because you're disappointed. Howard Pittman talked about when he was there how he wept and cried and had such pain that he'd never had in his life because of the disappointments he had. And he saw that how he had disappointed his father. Wow. God gave him a second chance. Well, where are we at? Romans? Which chapter? 5? Chapter 5. Hallelujah. That's sermon number 1. This sermon number 2.5. Verse 17. Chapter 5. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign, rule in life through one, Jesus Christ. That we will rule and reign in life. Rule and reign in life. We are to rule in our life. Did you know you're the king of your world? You're in authority where God put you. You are to rule and reign. You know, and I said in the last 2 weeks, you know, what is man? Why did God create us? Why did he put us here? Why were we in the mind of God before the foundation of the earth. Why did God create us knowing that man would fall, knowing that Adam would fall, knowing that there'd be plenty of people go to hell, but yet he created us anyway, created man. And what is man? Well, he's a little lower than angels in creation. One day we'll be above angels. We'll be at the right hand of Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning with Jesus in eternity. But now in life, we're ruling and reigning now. Are we supposed to prove to him that we can rule? If you can't rule in your life, you're not going to rule in his kingdom. Well, what kind of employee you to hire somebody can't? Listen, if it don't work at home, it don't work nowhere. God created man to rule. God created man in the Garden of Eden, his creation. God created man and made him in his image, made him like him. We're the only creation in the universe that God ever created that we're like him. We are equal with Jesus Christ, not as deity, but in his natural body. He was man. He was the firstborn among many brethren. So we're his brother. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs. We're in the family of God. Angels are not. Angels are angels. We were born to create and to rule. And God said we would rule this earth. Satan once ruled the earth. And God chose us now to take authority. God gave us authority over him to rule this earth. The church is a prototype of what is to come. The church. We have an idea and saw a glimpse of what Jesus Christ came to the earth for. And Matthew chapter 16, you don't have to turn there, but he said, who do men say that I am? They say, well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're that prophet. And he said, well, who do you say I am? Peter said, I say you're the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And he said, man has not taught you this. Flesh and blood didn't tell you this. This was revealed to you by the Spirit of the living God. And he said, upon this rock. And now we find out what Jesus come for. I will build my church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my church, the church, his church. Do you know you're the church? The called out one, the one that rules, one that's supposed to be like Adam, to take back what was stolen, to take back. God told Adam, now you repopulate, you replenish. And God made us in his image to be like him. He wanted us to feel, or he wanted to feel what we feel and us feel what he feels, and us to know how God feels. God had to create man because God wanted to demonstrate to the universe his love. God is love. But how would anybody know that he is love if he never expressed that love? It's hidden. The angels knew it, but it was taken for granted. How do you express your greatest love? Greater love hath no man than he lay down his life. God demonstrated who he was and who he is when Jesus Christ died for us. The greatest expression of love that's ever been is when Jesus Christ died for you. Now we see and know that God loves us. He loves us. And he gave us the ability to love like he does. He said the whole world will know you're mine if you love. Agape. Love. Agape love is the God kind of love. We're supposed to love like he loves. Nothing else has that privilege in the universe. It's to love like God loves. Only you and I have that. Only you and I can get a glimpse of what that love is. that expressed love, that love that he has. Only we can sense it. Angels don't sense that. Angels don't know that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, I think there, says that angels look into the church, seeing the church and wondering and seeing what we are. We're the redeemed. They're not. Nothing else is redeemed. God created us to rule with him. We're just in training now, my brother and sister. We're just in training. If you'll ever get that in your head, you'll be more faithful, more diligent, more aggressive, more on fire to prove yourself. Everything in this whole world, I read to you in Romans chapter 1, how all of nature, everything speaks of God. You could go nowhere. You get a job. The only way you get promoted on that job is faithfulness. That speaks of God's kingdom. I went into the military. The military speaks of God's kingdom, how God rules and reigns with authority, with position, with rank. We understand rank. They spent the first 10, 12 weeks in my life proving to us what rank was. When you first start out and you show up in the military, you are the lowest of the low of the low. You have no rank. You're nothing. You're a number. Then after a while, you just show up, more or less. Well, we show up then because we have to. And God's military, God's army, or God's kingdom, we are all volunteers. But we think we can volunteer every week. No, you volunteer one time. And we think every week we have a choice whether or not I want to go to formation. I don't know if I want to go out this today and see the sergeant. Really? But the whole kingdom of God works that way. And you show up, then you get to, like we call them mosquito wings. Two little marks like this, one, both of them down. But if you'll prove yourself faithful and you'll do your job and do it right and know when to say yes, sir, no, sir, and do all of that and be a company man or be a military man or show that you have initiative and want to be in this military, then you'll get another little stripe. And it's down here. It's like a little dime. You got two down and two up. That's private first class. Then you keep on. Then you can get another one. It's be corporal. Then you keep on. You get three of them up here. It's called sergeant. Then you keep on, keep on, keep on. But they just don't hand them out. Idiots don't get nothing in the military. You do a lot of push-ups, do a lot of running, and after a while they see you're no good and they'll throw you out. You know, if you're lazy, no account, you don't get nothing. You don't get promoted, you don't get anything. Everything on earth, every job you work, everywhere you go, everything you do shows that. All creation shows God's kingdom. Everything. We know that. If we're not ambitious, you don't get ahead in this world. If you don't work hard and ambitious and put some drive in something, you don't prosper. It's amazing. It amazes me. Every prosperous person you see, they all got one thing in common. They work hard. That's amazing. They work hard. And they show up. And they're on time. Now in our liberal society, you know, they say, well, we have to dumb everything down because everybody's dumb. Let's give everybody a trophy because we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. See, that's the devil. That's not God's kingdom. God doesn't give everybody a trophy. You're not going to heaven on judgment day, and he said, well, I don't want to hurt your feelings. No. You'll be rewarded, the Bible says, for the work you've done. Whether or not you showed up. Whether or not you said, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, pastor, is rank. I understand rank. In the body of Christ, I see people who outrank me. I treat them with that. I treat them with respect and honor. You understand how hard it is getting Christians to understand that word honor? We think that's a bad word. We think that's worship. Well, I can be in the military and an old general come in, I say, I ain't honoring that rascal. I'm not worshiping him. Well, they'll teach you real fast how to. Now, in God's kingdom, everybody's boss. They think. Everybody's right. Everybody has an opinion. Well, you have in the military. But you figure out real quick to keep it to yourself. Because your opinion don't amount to nothing. But in God's kingdom, everybody's right. Everybody's smart and everybody has an answer. And the one in authority is usually the one that's the dumbest, they think. God's kingdom. Our thinking. Worldly, carnal. We never go to church long enough, never get enough discipline, never get enough. God told us we got saved. What he told us to do is make disciples. You know how hard it is to make disciples? You can make disciples. You can make a leader out of anybody. I believe some people are born with the leadership qualities, but I believe anybody can lead. But you see, there's traits, there's things. Like in the military, I went from a nothing to a sergeant in 11 months. That's quick. I figured that out pretty quick. I learned how to say, they'd come and say, hey, Pittman, how about doing me a favor? Yes, sir, what do you need? You see, they couldn't command you to do something outside your, especially in Vietnam, battlefield. Because I knew if I did the major a favor, I got a favor. If I got in trouble, which I did sometimes, I needed it. You learn how to get along. Learn, just do your job. Do it well. Pay attention. Do what they tell you to do. Get rid of the sash, Mal. Sash. Say, smart now. Get rid of all that. Get rid of the bad attitude. Get rid of all that. Show up. Be on time. It's amazing how you got promoted. You know that'll work on your job. But Americans, we're good at one thing. We always got an opinion on the job. And we're always smarter than our boss, the man who's paying. And we think we can show up when we want to, grumble as long as we want to, take as many breaks as we want to, and quit early. That's the American way. And then in that, we think we can excel in life. You won't excel anywhere. That's how the kingdom of God works. That's how God works. That's how his whole kingdom works. Everything in life that you see in the natural speaks of God. And everything is to show us, as the body of Christ, how to grow and mature and develop in this body. Now, look with me in Ephesians 4. Everything. I don't care what you look at it that way. See, God gives us promotion. God's the one that pays us. You understand, the Bible says that you should get a job and you should work where you'd have money to give. That's all it says. Where you have money to give. And as what God was saying, I'll take care of you. Didn't I say that I'd meet your needs, take care of you? God pays you. I don't care what source he's using, what channel he's using, where you're at working. God pays you through that. And if you ever forget that, you'll think it's you, your own strength, your own ability, or your own pride and all that is doing it. You're not in the world anymore. You're in this kingdom. And if we'll operate according to that, we'll be blessed. You know, the Bible says, and I've proven this, I've sat at the table, been in the car, been in the room, and had some audiences with some of the greatest men that's in the body of Christ or has been in the body of Christ in my generation. And I've had every one of them, I have had a level of respect from them. Well, how do you do that? Bible says a man's gift shall make room for him. If you could ever get that down, you'd be promoted. You say, I don't know. Stay where you're at. Are you out there? Are you going home? You got to know how the kingdom works. You got to know how it works on your job. You got to know how your boss is. You call it, most of us call it sucking up. Well, let me tell you something. If you ever learn how to suck up to God, you'll really go somewhere. But see, we've got this thing called pride. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. Nobody's going to show us. I know as much as the pastor does. We're going to that church. He offended me, made me so mad. Well, you're not going anywhere in life. I'll tell you that now. I used to be that way on a job. You know, of course, I could afford to. I didn't have any responsibility. It didn't matter to me if it worked or not. That's dumb. But if they said anything offended me, I'd just leave. You know, I never did get ahead in any job. Wonder why? Some stupid attitude. And when you come over in God's kingdom, you'll find out real quick, holy don't play that. Holy don't play that. You won't tell him nothing. You say, yes, sir. And he'll put you somewhere where you have to eat crow a lot. And where you'll have to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, whatever you say. I don't like that church. I don't like that pastor. I hate it when he does it. I hate it when he tells me something. Who do you think he is? I'm smarter than he is anyway. And God say, you shut your mouth, stay right there. But he can't do that to any Christians. Why? They're not interested in discipleship. They won't do it. They won't do it. They won't stay. They won't sit there and die. They won't sit there and die to themselves. They won't sit there and honor. They won't sit there and be submissive. They won't sit there and do everything you're supposed to do in the kingdom of God to get promoted. Well, good morning. You know why I'm telling all you good people that's all those others out there. Maybe they get the tape. See, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to the spirits, you know. The truth. You know, I'm not preaching to you unless you're like that. That's the truth. How do I know these things? Yeah, how do I know these things? God worked me over. I'm telling you, he worked me over. Up one side, down the other side, and I was after God, and I told him I wouldn't quit, do whatever he said, and he had me hooked. And he could pay me or not pay me. He wouldn't pay me if I didn't do right, but didn't act right. Wanted to have a bad attitude, didn't work. He said, you go sit down. Yes, sir. Shut your mouth. Yes, sir. And probably tell me one time, I know how you'd feel. You'd rather go back and fight. Yes, sir. I would. God says you're going to sit down and be quiet.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to be submissive, and you're going to die. That's what they told me in the military, you know. You heard my Jesus Christ when I met Jesus Christ in the military. And the first thing he said, you come out there, the big old black guy, about 6'6". I'll tell you, that big old jowls, you know, and just muscles. He had muscles in his jaw. Steely-eyed. I mean, he was scary looking. He walked back and forth in front of all of us and looked at us. Said, I hate you. Said, yeah, I hate you too. Said, my name is Jesus Christ. That's what he said. And I hate you. And I'm going to kill you. I'm going to spend the next 6 weeks and I'm going to kill you. When I get through with you, there won't be anything left of you. You'll be nothing. Then I'm going to start building you the way I want you. And when I get through with you, you'll be what I want. You'll be a lean, green, fighting machine. When you sleep, I'll tell you to sleep. When you eat, I'll tell you to eat. When you speak, I tell you to speak. When you run, I tell you to run. When you sit, I tell you to sit. You bathe when I say bathe. You drink when I say drink. We found that out. He wasn't lying. They knew how to kill you. It is exactly the way the kingdom of God is supposed to work. When we come to Jesus Christ, we are an empty, goofed up, brain dead mess. We've been programmed by the world. We're programmed negatively. We're programmed with pride and arrogance and rebellion, and we don't submit to anything, and we know what's right. This is the way it ought to be done, and I know when I want to go to church. I know where I want to go to church. I know what I want to do. Don't tell me to give money. Don't tell me to do this. See, it's all. Then we'll stand up and say, oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus said, you're not worth anything yet in the kingdom. I've got to kill you. Paul said, I die daily. See, you don't know what I mean. It's called killing you. Dying to the flesh. Dying to self. First thing Jesus said when he came into the kingdom, you have to deny yourself. I don't know any Christians who deny themselves. Well, maybe a few. Then he goes through that. Took Paul 17 years for God to kill him. Took Moses 40. Took David 15. Took Joseph 15 to 17 years. On the backside of the desert, nobody heard of him, nothing. Elijah, all these, John the Baptist. Jesus was 30 years. It was timing. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew anything. He could argue with anybody. He loved to debate. He loved to argue. He loved to go into the Jewish temple and debate. That's why he got beat up all the time. Finally, he learned this. I'm not getting ahead. God called me to the Gentiles anyway. And every time he went to the Jews, he got beat up. Study your Bible. That's the only time he ever got beat up, went over to the Jews. And God told him to go to the Gentiles. And God had to take all of them into the wilderness. Wilderness is a place of death, of dying, of barrenness, with nothing. You don't get nothing. You just exist. God, you think you're not going to get enough money this month to pay your bills. Somehow or another it comes through. You think, well, I don't have enough gas in the car, but somehow or another you get gas. You have to believe God for everything. Then you can't get by with nothing. Every time you do something, God snaps you up. You want to leave where you're at. God says, you're not going anywhere. I said, okay, you know, you want me or not? Die to self. Die. You know how many times I quit the ministry? I said, well, I'm not preaching anywhere anyway. I don't even have a ministry. I don't think I'm even called anymore. And I'd say, well, I'd go to work, and next thing you know, I'd get two or three places to preach. And I'd say, well, maybe I am. Maybe it's working now. And I'd get on a roll and phew, die again. I'd go through 6 months, 8 months, something. I'd preach. Nothing. I'd say, well, this ain't working. I'm not making any money of this. Can't even barely feed my family. You know, I don't have a car that's any good. My trailer, not much. Clothes, you know, just all this, you know, not doing any good. I'm going to get me a good job and do something. Then I, about that time, two or three places to preach. God knows how to kill you. You going to trust me? You going to live for me? You going to obey me? You going to do what I say or not? Well, yes, sir. Rule and reign in life. Just because you've been called to rule don't mean you can rule. You have to be trained. You have to be trained to do this. You have to be trained to be financially successful. You have to be trained if you're going to minister on any level. Because the opportunity will come. You're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get offended. You're going to get upset at the pastor. You're going to get this and that and the other. Well, I told one guy one day, I said, I don't care. I didn't call you. I don't care if you leave. I don't care what you do. I don't care. You get that straight? I don't care. I didn't call you. You won't stand before me at judgment day. I didn't send you here. I didn't write you a letter and tell you to come here. It's obvious God sent you. Yeah, but I'm offended. Bye. You'll be offended tomorrow. You got to learn. Golly. You know how many times I've been offended? My goodness, I was an offense waiting, going somewhere to happen. I was offended at everything and everybody. I told the Lord, I don't like people. Why are you calling me the pastor? I don't even like nobody. I love you, Lord. I'm doing this for you. It don't work that way. He told me one time, he said, I was going through this and been done kind of wrong, you know. God loves in seeing us done wrong. He loves it when we get offended. He loves it when somebody just kicks our little apple cart over. He loves it. Makes him happy to see you cry and whine. Don't upset him. He knows he's doing you the good. If you just won't quit. I was upset. He said, can you go minister to those people and love them just like nothing had ever happened to you, like you'd never been hurt, you'd never been offended? Can you preach in love, and can you be a minister to minister to those people? I said, no. Might as well be honest. God knows your heart. He said, well, you're not ready for ministry. Well, go sit back down. He said, it doesn't matter what happens to you, how somebody hurts you, how somebody offends you, how somebody upsets you, you have to take this word and minister to these people that hurt you just like Jesus would. You can't minister out of yourself. You have to get over that. You have to get past what you think or what you'd like to see in anything. You say, well, I don't minister anyway. Yes, you do. You're on the job. Jesus said, you're going to love like I love. That's how you're going to do it in this kingdom. I will build my church. You know you're the church? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church, you. And you won't get anywhere without love. You won't get anywhere without love. So the Lord wants to teach us all about how he loves, how he feels, and how, you know, read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And I like to say, you know, it says love is. Well, put in that God is. And read all those things that God is. Patient and kind and long-suffering. Always thinks the best of you. Not easily offended. He's slow to anger, forgiving, merciful, kind. That's who God is. Did you know that's what his children, he's trying to teach us? To love like he loves, that's his kingdom. If we'll ever get that, we'll rule and reign in life. That's everything we go through. It's to put that in us. It's not trying to get power. It's not trying to get money, not trying to get some big authority. That's not what he came to give us. He came to give us a love, to show the world how he is, how he loves, to show us that he is love. So how do we get to know that? Angels don't know it. So he gives us a wonderful thing called a family or a church or a marriage. Oh, yeah. Angels don't get married. They don't know this love. God says, I want you to know love. I'm going to give you the privilege to love like I love, to where the world can see who I am. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. That doesn't mean that you're going to stand here and the gates of hell are rushing us. No, that means we're rushing the gates of hell. And they're not strong enough to stop us. And everything God is and everything God will ever teach us and everything maturity and everything, it's love. That's all it's about. Everything else works by that. Faith works by love. And on the job, everywhere you're at, it's to develop you in love. So how many times a day do you want to slap somebody? How many times a day do you want to give them a piece of your mind? God is. Well, Lord, I don't have to love. Oh, yes, you do. I'm sorry. You're going to rule and reign my kingdom. That's what this kingdom is, honey. Now, we're flesh. He knows we're flesh. We lose it. We're not God. We're not perfect. We're never going to be that. But our goal, our ambition, what we're trying for, what we're seeking for, what we're working for, everything we're trying to do is be perfected in this love. So we have a marriage. What's God say? Husbands, you love your wife. I don't want to love my wife. Do you ever think about how some days I don't want to love you either? But I love you. I put up with you. I don't smart mouth you. I don't have an attitude toward you. I'm not hateful and grumpy and with you. Why do you want me to love her? Because I am love. If you don't work at home, it don't work nowhere. If you can't develop it at home, forget it. You won't rule in the kingdom. You can't rule in his kingdom. If you can't rule yourself, we will rule and reign in this life. Rule what? Do you know the Bible says, the last chapter in the Bible says this, to him that overcomes, I will grant him a place. Overcomes what? Me, the flesh. Then he messes around and gives us kids. You really can't know the Father's love like he really is until you have children. You don't know how many times that this has helped me by having kids. God's told me this. Son, no matter where you went, you'd still be my son. No matter what you did, you'd still be my son. No matter how bad you messed up, you'd still be my son. You could come in and tell me, I don't love you no more. I don't want to be in this family. I would still love you. You'd be my son. You know, kids do that sometimes. Stupid. I don't like this family. I'm leaving. They don't mean that. The next first thing time they get hungry, they'll call you. Because no matter where they go in life, I don't care what they do, they always want to go home. Even the worst of homes. God's expression of love is a no greater place in this earth than the family. It's supposed to be developed there. And where does it start? Through the husband. He never tells the wife to love the husband. They get off easy. They respond to that. They respond. Read Ephesians chapter 5. Husband loves your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it to nourish, care, cherish, and take care of it. You know what we do sometimes? Especially husbands. The very people God gave us to love, we turn against them and we hate them the worst. We're meaner to them than we are an old stray dog. We're meaner to them than we are some stranger we see on the street. We get irritated and mad and all that. We go home and take it out on each other. Why? They call the spirit. The devil wants to break down the harmony and the love in the home because that's where God expresses himself. You will rule and reign in this life. You will rule and reign in your home. I heard God tell a fellow one time through prophetic word, giving him word. He said, God, the Lord says, son, I'm going to start treating you the way you treat your wife. Now, women, God also is not a manipulator. God doesn't use that against you. And when you do something wrong, God doesn't bring it up to you 2 months from now. And when you say, forgive me, he does, and it's gone. He don't remember it. He chooses not to. He doesn't bring it up. He doesn't nag at you. When's he ever nag at you? When's he ever say, you need to do this, you need to do that. Why don't you do? You never do anything. God's not like that. Well, you heard what the preacher said. Now you have to love me. You miss the whole thing. God's not like that toward you women. He's not like that. Why do you think you can be like that? Well, I don't, you know, you've not been nice to me this week. How nice to have to be to you? Well, I like the way you spoke. I like the way you looked at me. Well, I'm doing my best. I used to tell Kathy, I said, listen, I'm trying. I'm trying my best, you know. Give me a break. I was a mess, dear God, you know. I've had the Lord tell me, and, you know, Kathy never would argue or fuss. Thank God. She had, I left. Both of us can't argue and fuss. I'm the one that does that. I don't need more. But, I, you know, if she jump on me that, I just forget it, you know. But, you know, we'd get in, I would, you know, and all this, and she'd be wrong. You know how it is. The Lord says, go in there and apologize. I ain't going in there and apologize. I start somewhere. You're the head of the house. You get in there and apologize. Men, if you get that lesson, you quit being a smart aleck. Because you don't want to go in there and apologize again. It's easier just to get along. It's God's house. It's God's kingdom. He gave us that to show the world. We're the only creature in the universe. He gave the privilege. He told us to get married, and it's natural for a reason. When you go to heaven, there is none. Angels don't get married. You don't have to be married. Why? Because in his kingdom, he's teaching us to rule and reign. And when you rule and reign at home, and you can love your wife, and the wife loves her husband, and she, the Bible says in Peter that she doesn't nag, that the husband's won through her quiet and sweet. That's what the Bible says. Spirit. I've seen some women, you know, you look at them and say, dang, till they open their mouth. Then I'll say, dang. Dear God, get me out of here. You know what I mean? Just shut up, you know. Like a little chihuahua. What we got to learn? What are we doing? We're being discipled. We're being scolded. We're being chastised. We're being trained by God to develop in his nature. Because one day, when we get to heaven, he says, you qualify. Everything in this world, that's why the Bible said there's no law against this love. That's what he's trying. And so all these families who have, God has chastised and trained, and now they're just a sweet little leave the beaver. You don't know who that is, do you? Well, some family. They're not any on TV now as examples. Anyway, you're just this now. Oh, you're going to fight. You're going to argue. You're going to get mad at each other. You will. You're human. You're going to get so angry. You know, it's the ones you love the most who you get the maddest at. Only one person in the whole church said yes. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Well, you know, it's our flesh and the spirit. You got to know there's a spirit in your house. And he wants to break. You won't ever grow. You'll never develop until you do this. If you don't treat your wife right, I'm telling you, men. And women, if you don't respond in like fashion and be a quiet and peaceful, gentle spirit, you can forget ever growing in God's kingdom and prosperity and healing and everything. The Bible says if you don't do right in the house, and that your prayers won't be answered, and an angel, that angel won't be bound. And I can show you that in Matthew if you had time. It's an evil angel that tries to attack the home. And he has opportunity when you give him place, men. And women. We think everything's taken, is fixed by just our giving. You know. That's not what God's trying to do on earth, is make you rich. He called us, made us out of the dirt, and he said, that's mine. They're in my image. They're in my likeness. They're like me. Satan came, caused Adam to fall. Spirit died. God came back, regenerated our spirit, gave us a new spirit, but we got the old sin nature, fallen flesh, or mine. He says, now watch this, Satan. I'm going to train these people, and they're going to rule and reign on this earth where you used to rule and reign, and the world's going to see. Amen? And we pray together as husband and wife. We agree together as husband and wife. We live in harmony and peace. The devil has a heart attack. Then you have all these nice families. They come to a place called the church. It's just made up of families. Then God gives them a pastor to teach them the word. I didn't get a chance to read Ephesians. I'll read one of these days. Gives a pastor to teach the word that we may grow up in the maturity and the likeness of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, then we show to the principalities, powers of the air, the manifold wisdom of our God, because we're walking in the likeness of him. He created us to rule and reign with him. And we go to church, and we're taught the word, and he gives you a pastor, a shepherd after his heart. Not the people's heart. After his heart. And he works and gives us and we're just made up of a whole bunch of families. Then all of these are become the body of Christ and we're joined together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And each part supplies. And it between 2nd chapter 12 and chapter 14, there's that love chapter where the body of Christ is. And if you put over John chapter 15 in with the body of Christ where it says that if you're connected to Jesus, the vine, the branch is connected to the vine, then that sap or that energy or that life flows into you because you're connected. And everybody says, well, I'm connected to Jesus. No, he's talking about connected to his body. His body. And if you're not connected to his body, which is the church, you're not connected to the life flow of God. And so that's why the devil comes in churches and they usually have a home that's not in proper authority. And where you, sad to say, but a lot of times it's a woman. I told a woman one time, I said, I'm going to tell you something your husband ought to told you. Shut up. Didn't go over good. That's not my place. I shouldn't have to do that. I shouldn't have to tell a man's wife. Would you quit gossiping? Would you quit being in strife? Would you quit tearing people's, quit trying to tear the church? You need to shut up. They won't listen to you either. But see, that person, the problem before this life is, oh, they may not, without that, probably won't live out the life that God promised them. They won't live out their year. You watch, I've seen too many times. Amen? The life of God. Then we come to church and we praise God and worship God. You know, it's 3,000 years before time Adam was made, before they ever had a place to worship God. God didn't. If you'll study the Bible in Genesis, God never, all through chapter 1, 2, 3, there's nowhere in there where God ever told Adam and Eve to praise and worship him. People say, well, you ask people, what do we call, why'd God create man? To praise him. Well, how come he never told Adam and Eve to praise him? It's 1,500 years before that law was ever put into action through Moses. 1,500 years. But you can find in the first assignment God gave man was to take care of his wife and to work. Take care of the kingdom. Stand up. All he told man is you rule this garden. You rule this. You rule this. Well, Satan stole our garden. God's going to give it back to us. But when we get born again, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says we have a garden. God has a garden. And he gives us back a kingdom, which is our world. No matter where it is, it's your world. You're to rule over it. And you're to rule over that kingdom just like God does in love. And everything God does and tries to do to kill us, like he did me for 14 years, was to get the ability in me. I had it in there. It's just love no matter what. Just no matter what. Just love to people. Supernatural. Just to love. I fail, but that's my goal. I fail miserably, but that's my agenda. Prove to God, I can do this. I can rule. Amen. Well, if you got anything out of it, well, praise the Lord. Father, thank you for the ability to rule and reign in life. You call us, Father, in your image. You made us in your likeness. But we never really grabbed hold of that. What it is what is your likeness? What is your image? It's love. You are love. And that's what you want us to be. It's your house. It's your children, your kids, your family, your church. And you said you'd build it. When we stand before you, that's what we'll be judged for. Did you love like I love? We least want to say we did our best. Bless the people, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read this to you before we go. Show you 1 Corinthians chapter 13, start verse 4. Listen. God is love. And God suffers long with us. God is kind to us. God never gets jealous. He's jealous if we have another God. Love does not exalt itself over us. It is not puffed up. God is not puffed up, arrogant, prideful. God never behaves himself rudely toward us. He's always kind. To us. God does not, notice this, in our life, God does not seek his own way. He's seeking everything for us. Everything's about us. Amen? God is not easily provoked. God is not evil. God always rejoices when we walk in truth. Bears up all things, believes all things, hopes all things about us, endures all things. God never fails. God never fails. Why don't God never fail? Because he is love. And he goes on to say, love cannot fail. Now, that's what he tells us to be. But that's what he is. Amen? Well, we're trying, aren't we? We're doing our best. Sometimes I think I'm doing real good and I fall right flat on my face. Kapow. So, oh, Lord, Jesus, please forgive me. I didn't walk love. Lord, I messed up. Please forgive me. But I'm not as bad as I used to be. Now, it's okay to get angry. The Bible said you get upset, things like that. You do more in anger. And sometimes it fixes things. Amen? Well, I bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.